John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, it's me, Ed Peterson.
Hey, and it's me, John Kiltica.
Hey, John. Where are we recording from?
We are recording from beautiful West Seattle, Washington, United States of America.
Is it the High Gain Podcast?
It is the High Gain Podcast.
I'm all confused on this intro. Is that okay?
You can be as confused as you want to be because I think we're all used to it.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about guitars, amps, pedals, all kinds of things.
Sure. Cost of guitars in the 70s, like Jimmy Carter dollars, maybe?
That is a perfect tossover, Ed.
Yeah?
Because when last we left our intrepid friend John Roderick,
yeah,
he was trying to figure out how much a 1977 Starcaster was going to cost him in 76, 77 dollars. Carter bucks.
Yeah.
And he was having a little bit of a hard time, so we thought we'd come back this week for part two of our interview with John.
He's had a week to think about it.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. It's taken him all week. Here's John.
It is 1976. You have a whole bunch of that Jimmy Carter cash burning a hole in your pocket. Yeah.
It was a rich time in America.
Once you're done waiting in line to get gas in the car.
Uh-huh, that's right. Gas in your Pinto.
You want to go buy one of these. So in 1976 dollars, what are you going to pay for the Fender Starcaster?
1976 loaf of bread. Will that help?
Mm-hmm.
30 cents.
Loaf of bread, 30 cents?
At this time, my mom was still buying day-old bread.
Yep.
Because it saved us money.
Was she buying day-old milk at $1.42 a gallon?
Probably got fresh milk.
Okay.
But, you know, milk lasts more than a day.
Sure. A house.
Oh.
$54,750.
She sold our house in 78 for $40,000. But, you know, it was a humble house.
Is this Alaska dollars?
That was the thing. We were living in Seattle at the time.
Oh, okay.
She moved to Alaska, got a job at the pipeline, and immediately was making $35,000 a year. I remember the day sometime in the mid-80s when she was making $50,000 a year, because that was as much as my dad. They were divorced. She was making more than my dad all of a sudden, and that was like, I don't know if there was a bigger moment in her life.
Yeah.
Because it still reverberates with me, the day that my mom was making more than my dad. Because it really changed the dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Between them, at least. So, 76.
76.
I had a Schwinn Stingray because I had graduated from the big wheel. 76.
He's having trouble with his
head. Yeah, yeah. I usually just gut it.
$300.
That's solid. 284.
284?
Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Wow. You're hoping I go over. A
little bit.
It was $675.
Holy shit.
It was meant to be a 335 compete.
today dollars, that had to be like $3,800 or something.
$3,600.
Whoa, well done. And you have to imagine 76, 77, 78, music was really changing really fast, right? I mean, this seems like it was made for jazz bows and playing some sweet tones.
A lot of what Fender seemed to do was, we don't have a 335, let's make a 335. My problem with the Deluxe is like, we don't have a Les Paul, here's our Les Paul.
Weighs 15 pounds.
Yeah, it's heavy like a Les Paul, perfect. I don't see as much of Gibson copying Fender.
What's funny is Leo Fender got it exactly right on his first try.
Right.
What in life can you point to and say the first ever try is still perfect? And so once you've made the perfect thing, where do you go? Have they ever not made a blonde Telecaster? Everything else is window dressing, because is there a style of music you can't play on a Telecaster?
I think they just wanted to compete for market share. And I think going the offset route is really good, but it didn't matter anyway. It didn't work.
Well, and it's got that Fender 3 screw bolt-on neck.
With the micro tilt adjustment.
Micro tilt adjustment.
Yeah.
You guys remember a time when any guitar made in the 70s, we kind of looked down our nose a little bit like, ugh, 77 was not the year for any guitar.
Half of the guitars I own are 70s.
Yeah.
Even today, I think people look at them as less valuable than their 60s counterpart.
See it for what it is. It's a guitar that makes sounds.
Listen to that.
Yeah, come on.
You're not going to get that out of one of these modern guitars.
No.
If there was any song we could play out of your catalog.
The Commander Thinks Aloud.
The Commander Thinks Aloud does not have a single guitar on it.
That song, every time I hear it, it makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
I just fucking love it. But then on the other side, the normie in me really loves Cinnamon.
Do you have a preference?
Oh, no, no, no. You guys knock yourselves out. Cinnamon actually has Peter Buck playing the mandolin on it.
Yeah.
Also, we had Scott McCoy come in the studio and he tried a couple of things. We couldn't figure out what he was going to play. So we pulled up a track and Scott just stood quietly in the studio. And then we mixed in Scott McCoy just being. There is a track on that that's just Scott McCoy sitting quietly in the studio.
That's great.
I don't know if you can hear it, but you're really meant to feel it.
Well, it sounds like that's what we're going to play, right?
Sure.
From the Long Winter's album, When I Pretend to Fall, this is Cinnamon.
The birds all were quiet, you were so quiet. Some hear a call, some are the messengers. I thumb through the pictures and know them all. They said, do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. I have too many stories, keeping it serious. Some are collectors, keeping it straight. It was a hospital, I was delirious. I clung to the stretcher, I drew them a heart. They said, do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. We'll be right back. to my car. What's it telling us? Start, please start, please start. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said her skin is cinnamon, her skin is cinnamon. Chasing the lamp cart back to the wall. It's plausible scenario. I clung to the stretcher. I drew them a heart. They said, do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon.
The song is a waltz. Our drummer, Michael Schilling, this happens somewhat in the studio where the first time they're ever hearing it, they're not sure what the groove is, a drummer, right? But Michael has an incredible feel. He's a self-taught drummer, learned to play the drums by playing on his pillow with a set of sticks to Zenyatta Mandata until his parents were like, you probably should have a drum. So he starts to play this kind of 2-4,
yeah,
4-4 thing over the top of it. And we're actually at Hall of Justice. Like, we're recording the song that day. I'm teaching it to him. And we stop because he's obviously getting it wrong. And I was like, he is not getting it wrong. You just play that. Absolutely do not think about it. That's how we recorded it. And it forms a polyrhythm, right? It's 3-4 guitar over 4-4 drum.
Yeah.
Every other drummer that ever played with us had to sit for a minute and figure out how to
get their head around.
Yeah, how to break their head enough to be able to kind of just keep that groove.
That song's pretty layered with guitars. There's an acoustic. Mm-hmm. There is either the Starcaster or a 335, mm-hmm. right?
That's the Starcaster.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the things that defines the Long Winters recordings is that I did not have a ton of discipline in terms of not adding another guitar track.
The best.
Because we weren't punk, right? It wasn't four dudes in a room rocking out.
Right.
They were always built, those songs. There was always room for me to go like, oh, what if there was a guitar that was going like... And our recorded music doesn't sound like we did live. Because live, we often just sounded like The Who. We were just three guys with everything turned up. And on the track, there were six guitars and
right.
Peter Buck
right,
Scott McCoy sitting quietly in a chair, right? Which is very hard to duplicate live.
Would you have him sit quietly in a chair on stage live?
You know,
live?
If you could afford to have Scott McCoy just come on tour with you just to sit, he'd be a lot of fun. It'd be hilarious.
That would be great.
So there are a lot of tracks, and I think there might even be a Nashville tuning guitar buried in there.
Acoustic or electric?
Well, I had one of each.
Yep.
Back to the guitar now.
Oh, okay.
So they did discontinue it because nobody wanted it.
How many years did it run? Two?
Three. 76 to 79. I think it still appeared in the catalog in 80.
There are some magazine ads for
They're
Starcaster.
Great. They're like all hand illustrated in 1970s.
Guys in bell bottoms, you know, surrounded by the signs of the Zodiac.
Fender definitely. They had some curvy ads.
From the beginning, it was Don Randall. And he had some ideas, and a lot of them involved bathing suits. And
you see this guy, though? You see that? When he just like, oh, that was Don Randall. This is a pro.
That's why people listen to this show, because they're getting that pro podcast vibe.
Later to become involved in Randall amplifiers.
No kidding.
Weird.
Huh.
In any event, in 2011, Fender puts out what they call the Modern Player series. They start reissuing a bunch of this stuff. The Coronado, and then the Starcaster. So you could get a reissue Starcaster between the years of 2011 and 2018.
When they actually reissued the Starcaster, what were the changes?
They took the master volume off. No more master volume.
Sure. You made the volume go down.
The volume goes down.
Amazing.
And you don't even have to think about it. And then you...
And the volume goes up.
He's got his pickups and his tones set for maximum awesome.
That's
now he needs to take a break to go get a beverage.
For sure.
Watch this. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Ooh,
talk about an effect.
What's Don Randall up to these days?
Don Randall?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pre-dong him.
He's dead.
Is he?
We lost him.
Oh,
we lost Don in 2009. He had a good strong run. How about Leo Fender?
He took his sinus infection and went home.
You know about that?
He had a sinus infection and that's what killed him?
He was a very hypochondriacal guy.
I love the way that you pronounce that word. Hypochondriacal.
He always thought he was sick with something. He took so much vitamin C that he turned orange.
The geodesic dome guy.
Buckminster Fuller,
didn't
yeah.
he? Wasn't he the one that said take super doses of vitamin C? My dad used to do that.
Oh.
It was like an Est-era 70s mm-hmm. health kick thing.
Yeah. Well, Leo got a sinus infection, and he was convinced that it was not just...
Terminal.
That clears it up. I'm going to die. And, you know, the doctors were like, it's a sinus infection.
What a terrible way to go.
That's when he sold Fender to CBS.
You're kidding.
He's like, well, I'm going to die, so...
That's why he sold Fender to CBS?
We've said this enough times that it's true.
Wow.
Should we throw out an allegedly?
I'm pretty certain that John has told me that story 9 times. That's what I'm certain about.
It answers a certain question, which is, why did he sell it to CBS and then immediately just
go
make guitars
G&L.
The rest of his life?
Exactly.
Do you remember when everybody was playing G&L basses?
For sure. G&L and Music Man, those two.
Did Music Man have a Fender connection?
Leo. Leo and his buddies get together and they're like, we're going to have this new company. What are we going to call it? And somebody was like, let's call it something stupid. And then another guy's like, that's dumb. How about number two dumb name? And Leo was like, God, you guys can't come up with anything. And so they said, well, fuck Leo. You're the Music Man. You decide.
Music Man.
There you go.
Music Man.
This is what the people pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You gotta try it, try and decide, is it hello or goodbye, buy or deny?
I should probably start with Ed because John's holding this guitar.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, made in the 70s for a short period.
Love it.
It is offset.
Mm-hmm.
It has the lovey pickups in it.
Yep.
The wide range humbuckers.
Yep.
All kinds of other cool vibe. And the one you are looking at right now is being held by John Roderick.
Right.
Buy or deny.
It's also got the German carve headstock.
It's brown.
Mocha.
You know, I've got to give the answer I would give if John Roderick weren't in the room.
Oh, John, can you step out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not into the Fender copy of the Gibson guitar. If I were going to put down Ed dollars on a guitar, I would just buy a 335 and call it a day.
Even with the way you are dubious about Gibson as a company.
I am not the biggest Gibson company fan, but you turned me around a little bit hearing that they just gave you 19 guitars and just said, like, here, go play. And
it's only because our local Gibson people were super rad. Gibson company itself, where they were total ding-a-lings through the whole thing.
The thing this has going for it is it's different.
You could get it in blonde, white.
Mm-hmm.
That's walnut, they called it. Antigua.
Oof.
Wine, tobacco sunburst, and black.
Black.
You could get a black one.
I've only ever seen blonde, black, and white. I have not seen an Antigua or a sunburst or anything.
Yeah.
they must have made them in the single digits.
Yeah.
I think the maple neck is not doing it too many favors. I feel like a rosewood or an ebony fretboard on there would just make it pop a little more.
Well, what about you, John?
This is a buy. I've always liked these.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if one came into the shop, I'd be doing with Uncle Frank what you did with the...
I got two chickens and a goat.
Yep. Well, what about you, John Roderick?
If you had never picked it up, continued along your merry way with your career, and then you ran across it now, is it possible to say if you'd like it?
So if I ran across it and had never owned it, I would totally be into it because it has Seth Lovers, which I think are really cool.
Yeah.
It is super unusual. You never see them. And I think it's handsome. If the pickups were a little bit further apart, I think it would be even better looking. But everything about it, I think it's really attractive. Having toured with it a lot, it has some disadvantages. One of them is it's a very unusual body, so you can only have the case it was born with. Oh. It won't fit in anything else. Look at how big the butt is.
It's a big ass.
This distance right here is bigger than any guitar. And it is surprisingly heavy.
Really?
As far as guitars go. It's very dependable as far as tones go. I mean, it does all the... It does all the guitar things. Having a reliable guitar that is uncomplicated and dumb. Guitar players are idiots. I'm an idiot.
10-4.
If I was Johnny Greenwood and was up on stage doing advanced chemistry on my guitar, you know, I watched some musicians that are like, then I played 7 really interesting chords, and then I walked over to the keyboard and played 3 parts, and then I played the spoons. But, you know, I'm up there, eyes closed, singing real hard. And what I should have had the whole time was a Telecaster, basically. I mean, something that was just idiotic that you could not screw up. So if I saw it on the wall today and had never owned it, I would absolutely buy it. If I had owned this one and would ask me if I would get a second one, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to, of course, thank John Roderick for coming here. But I want to know, what's next? What do you got going on?
I've got 2 podcasts, one with America's Sweetheart Ken Jennings, television's Jeopardy host and local Seattle guy. And he and I do a show every week where we talk about the kind of random stuff that you might imagine he and I would talk about. We've been friends for years, and you know, we always had a random thing that the one or the other of us was like, did you know that the guy that was on the Titanic, and the other one would be like, oh, wow, that's cool. So we turned it into a podcast.
That's Omnibus.
Omnibus with Ken Jennings. And then I have a show that you were listening to called Roderick on the Line with a guy in California named Merlin Mann. That's just 2 Generation X guys talking about breakfast cereal or whatever.
Man, Roderick on the Line is just a staple. I love that show so much. What's that podcast about? Nothing?
Less than nothing.
Awesome.
But we've been doing it for 12 years, and it's its own culture. It's got a subculture around it, and it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to be a Generation X person to listen to it. All you have to do is have attention deficit disorder and bipolar disorder, and you're going to love the show. I started my own Patreon a couple of years ago. That's Patreon at John Roderick. I have a show there where I respond to viewer mail. People write in and they say, this is what's happening. Why in the movie Oppenheimer did it seem like being a communist was illegal?
Yeah.
People just write in with questions that they kind of can't figure out by researching. And then I will respond to those kind of prompts. You know, joining a Patreon, we all are hoping everybody sees that as the way to monetize what we're doing, which is making, I think, interesting content.
I feel the same way about us, Ed, over there at patreon.com/thehighgain. We should also mention that this podcast here is on the ruinous media network of music-related podcasts. Joe and the boys over there.
Yep.
Listen to any ruinous media podcast. There's like 10 of them now.
You could go buy physical media.
That's right. If you go to Bandcamp, my band, the Western State Hurricanes, reissued on vinyl and on Bandcamp our lost record from the year 1999. Also, all the Long Winters music.
Yeah. So I'm going to take lots of pictures of this guitar.
Okay.
Would you like to come back next week, Ed?
Oh, me?
And do another one?
Okay, I'll probably be back.
All right, Ed.
Thank you very much, John Roderick.
Thanks, fellas. This is really fun. I'm glad to have been the first in-studio guest in several years.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Bye.
Peace out.